bless the Lord for that. And we thank God that in spite of it all, He's still good. Amen. In spite of everything that's happening in the world, globally, socially, economically, amen, God is still good. And we bless Him for that. Amen. Before we stand, I just want to turn to a text of scripture that came to me while the praise team was singing. If we can turn to Psalm 107 and verse 15. A lot of times we allow situations to get the best of us, and we seem to fail to remember who God is. But how many know that God is sovereign?
Yes.
Amen. And there's nothing that happened in the end of our lives without God knowing it. Job went through all that he went through, but before Job went through it, the devil had to get permission to test him. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the Lord said, even concerning Peter, He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. In other words, He said, Satan asked for permission to wear you out. But the Lord said, but I prayed that your faith would not. Tonight, if you don't do anything else, just don't let your faith fail. So I said, Lord, when my faith grows dim, only let me see something in my life that Thou has done for me. So we got to praise the Lord in spite of it. You know, we know it not too long ago, and in spite of praise, in the sacrifice of praise, that means I don't feel like it. When I look at everything, it looks so bad, it looks so bleak, but I'm going to praise Him. Come on, I'm going to praise Him anyhow. 107:15 says, oh, that man would what? Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Amen. Next verse. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron. And this is our God. Amen. Amen. The devil might come against us one way, but the Bible says, because God is fighting a battle, he's going to flee second. Amen. Verse 17 says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they, hallelujah, hallelujah, no matter how low you go, you can still do what? Cry unto the Lord in their, and he saveth them out of their. But this is what we're going to get to. It's when everything else don't work. Hallelujah. When you can't find help anywhere else. He said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from. He sent his word. Lord, send your word tonight. Lord, we need healing. We need deliverance. Amen. Verse 21 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his and for his wonderful works. Now, verse 22 said that it's been bad. Everybody can say it's been bad? It's been tough. Lord, I didn't know where my help was coming from, but the psalmist said, let them sacrifice and sacrifices up. That's an in spite of praise. Amen. That's a praise when I don't feel like it. That's a praise when everything is against me. I'm going to give him the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his with rejoicing. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? So I don't know what you're going through. You got to praise your way through it. Amen. In spite of it, keep praising the Lord. Amen. He will work it out. Maybe not in our own time, but in God's own time, he will work it out. Amen. So can we just give him a sacrifice of praise? A sacrifice of thanksgiving? That means, Lord, when I look at everything, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I praise you anyhow. Lord, my body's racked with pain, hallelujah, but I praise you. Lord, everything around me seems like it's sinking sand, but I praise you. Lord, I don't know where my next meal is coming. standing. Let us turn to Titus chapter 1. You're going to go to Titus chapter 1. I got to praise him anyhow. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't care what's going on. I still got to thank you because it could be that much worse. Amen. Jude said, now to him that's able to keep you. The only one that can keep you from falling is God. Now to him that's able to keep you from falling and is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God. To the only wise God. He's the only one that's able to keep you from falling. Hallelujah. So I can't help but praise him. When I don't feel like it, I'm praising. Amen. When I don't have anything else to do, I will praise the Lord because he's able to keep me from falling. In Titus chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Amen. And then we're going on a little Bible safari tonight. Amen. Verse 1, read it. Do we all have it? For those that do not have it, we know it's where? On the screen. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging and the knowledge of the truth of that chapter, in hope of eternal life, which God won't lie. You know, a lot of times when we hear God's promises, we doubt it. But the scripture said God cannot lie. God will not lie. So if he promised it, you can just hold on because he's going to come through. There cannot lie promise before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 5 also. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are. He said, left him there to do what? Set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, is blessed already. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, tonight, our subject that we're really going to deal with is setting some things in order that are wanting. That means that he's writing to the elders concerning the church. He said, in the church, there are some things that need to be set in order because they're wanting, meaning they are what? Lacking. Amen. But just before we hit on that real fast, let's go back up to verse 3 again. Now, how many saviors are there? Amen. How many saviors? There's only one savior, right? But just to let you know that God is Jesus and Jesus is God, let's go to this real fast. And this ain't in the text, but we might want to bring it out, right? Because Jude said, now to him that's able to keep us from falling and to present us. You know what that really means? No matter how much you and I try, we are going to have faults. So God will keep us from falling, then he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In Christ, you ain't supposed to be all downcast. Amen. Amen. But we're supposed to have some joy because the scripture says we should draw, with joy we should draw waters out of the what? Wells of salvation. If you want to come to be saved, you might as well have some joy. Jesus said, the joy I give you in the world, cannot give it to you. The peace that God gives the world, hallelujah, can't give it to you. And he said, and he cannot take it away. Because greater is he that is in than he that is in the world. But verse 3 says, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of who? Our Savior. Who our Savior? God our Savior. And the latter portion of verse 4 says, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, to the normalized, that's saying that we got two saviors. Right? But because the apostles knew who the Lord was, and they knew who God was, they interchanged it because they knew it all meant the same, that he's one. How many know that God is one? We only have one Savior. Told the only wise God are. Now in God's wisdom, he knows how to work our situations out. Amen. You know, it's just like as a parent sometimes, we allow our children to go through things because we say, you know what? If I rescue you now, you're never going to learn. So in your mature wisdom, you permit your child to go through, children to go through just enough before you step in because they have to learn. Well, God is the same way as our Savior. Amen. He permits us to go through things because we have to learn. But our focus tonight is on setting things in order where? In the church. Now, we're talking about setting things in order. In order for things to be set in order that are wanting, that means they are lacking. Amen. Yeah, I'm not going to fuss at y'all. Y'all going to help me out. We just want to get some stuff right. Amen. Amen. Last week, y'all got to smile. Come on. Y'all don't look so sad. I know it's raining outside. It's sleeting. It's snowing. But how many know you still got breath? And the Bible said, let everything. Let everything that has breath. Now, if you don't have breath, you can look bad. But if you got some breath. Amen? All right, come on now. Stay with me. We need to really embrace God's goodness. Amen. Because things could always be that much worse than they are. But Paul writes to Titus, he said, there are some things that are lacking. Now, for you to go to the next level, he said, you need to set these things in order. Amen. Tonight, what we're dealing with is we want to set things in order. And as I said, as we went over the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what? Knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now this wisdom and revelation helps us to set things in order. Amen. With that in mind, now let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're trying to set some things in order. Amen. And we're going to come back to Titus and try to break it down a little more about what Titus had to do. Now, you know what the good thing when Paul writes in Titus and gives Titus instruction, he gives them instruction for the leaders. He gives them instruction for the aged men. He gives them instruction for the aged women. He gives them instruction for the young men, and he gives them instruction for the young women. And he went further than that. He gave them instruction for the servants and the master. He said, I want to cover everything. Anybody want God to cover everything? Lord, if it's in there, get it for me. So we're going to come back to Titus because Titus gives us some clear instructions for how we are to live. Amen. So in order to set things in order, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we went over a series. It was a several-part series on holiness and spiritual living. Amen. Y'all remember that? If y'all remember it, I got the tapes at home. I can still give it to you. Amen. A 7-part series on holiness and spiritual living. Because the scripture said, without holiness, no man should see the Lord. And it says, be ye holy, for the Lord said, I am. That's the very first commandment that he gave the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. He said, you know, I don't need you to act like the Egyptians. But I want you to act like me. He says, be holy as I am holy. Then after he gave them that commandment to be holy, he gave them the 10 commandments. How? So that they can have order. Right? So they can have structure. So that they would know what God expected from them. So he gave them the 10 commandments so that they would have order in their life. God is a God of order. God is not a God of disorder. God is a God of order. Because when you don't have order, then 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this. Amen. Let's go to verse 33. of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're trying to find the mind of God because I want to be, anybody want to be in God's perfect will? Lord, I want to be in the center of your will. Amen. Because as long as I'm in the center of your will, then I realize as I'm doing it your way, then the scripture says I will be to the praise of his glory. Not my glory, but his glory. Amen. So Paul had to set things in order. The reason you have order is because of this. For God is not the author of what? God is not the author of confusion. Amen. The reason you have confusion is because you don't have order. Amen. Everything is ordered. Now, just imagine if all of us have worked somewhere at one time. Man, I don't care if it's McDonald's or whatever you work, right? My father started working when we were 10 years old. We didn't have no options. If you don't work in the place, you get a newspaper route, do something, right? So we started working early. So by the time I got to most of y'all teenagers, I had already had like my 7 or 8 years behind me. I was almost ready to retire in 13 years. That didn't happen though. But my father made us work, you know? And then as we worked, we always had rules. There was orders. There were things we had to do even when we were young. The reason that you have order is because order eliminates confusion. Amen? So he said, God is not the author of confusion, but of what? So when you get confusion, that's not God. Amen. And sometimes we can, even in church, in ministry, we can be doing something, and then there gets to be some confusion. Now, that's not God. Tell yourself that ain't God. God don't mess with confusion, because God is a God of, so when things begin to fall apart, God is not the God of confusion, but of what? Peace and what? All the church in the saints. So this ain't to the world. We're talking about the church. But the problem with the church, the reason we don't have all the order, is because we have not yet transformed, we have not allowed our minds to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we're in church, but unfortunately in church we still have a way of doing it the world's way. You got to transform that mind and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. And a little while later, we're going to go for renewing of your mind when we get to Ephesians. So the reason that you have confusion is because there is no order. Amen. Now, we're going to skip down because I don't want to mess with you all with the next couple of verses because y'all might get that out of order. But let's jump down to verse 36. I know some of you are like, whoa, wait a minute, they said the women are supposed to be quiet in church. No, we ain't going to go there. That's a whole different thing, all right? So we're going to just leave that alone, amen? But Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And what he's trying to do, he said, look, there's a lot of confusion in church. But God is not the... So if God's not the author of confusion, then who brings in the confusion? Amen? So what Paul tells Titus, he says, we need to set things in order to eliminate confusion. So that everyone knows what their responsibility is. That's what's so good about God. God does not leave it up to chance, but he tells us what we should do. Now, we have to be submissive enough to do it, amen? He says, what? Came the word of God out from... He said in the Corinthian church, you all are so big and bad. Y'all think the word of God came from you? Right? He's trying to set things what? In order. He's trying to eliminate the confusion. And I don't want to really get into that, but it was in church, and everybody was doing whatever they felt like doing, they did it. But it wasn't according to scripture. Amen. So from, he starts off in the verse 1 talking about the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, and then he comes all the way down and he's talking to them about prophesying and all the different things that were going on in church, you know, and they were just, the Corinthian church said, listen, we just do what we want to do. So he said, wait a minute, I'm just curious, what? Did you give God the word? Or are you supposed to live according to his word? Amen. He said, or came it unto you only? He's dealing with the, why are you doing what you're doing? Did you give God that word? Or did you get a special word that was for you only, that allows you to act different and have disorder? So he said, well, how is this word so special for you that you can be contrary to God as though you're telling God what to do? He said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, right? Everybody in church should want to be what? Spiritual. Because God is the Spirit and we have the Spirit. Amen. So we become spiritual through the Spirit. He said, let him acknowledge that the things that are written to you are the... If you're spiritual, you need to eliminate your what you think is God, because what you think is God is adding to the confusion. It's not helping to set things in order. You are acting like you got a special revelation from God. He said, now I'm not talking about you all. We talk about the Corinthian church. Can we say Corinthian church? Unless you act like a Corinthian church, right? You got a special revelation from God that God has told you to do something different, and the only one doing it is you. He said, receive you this only, right? So that means that they were acting in a way that the rest of the church was not acting, because they had a special revelation. But their special revelation was causing confusion and disorder. Amen? He said, if any man, go back there for a minute, please, sorry. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge. And that's the number one thing. You can't be saved doing it your way. Amen. Let him acknowledge that the things that are written to you are the... He said, now we can't go no further. We're going to stop right here. If you do not acknowledge that these are the words or the commandments of the Lord, he said, we can't go no further. Unless we break that superior spiritual mind that you have, that think you got something that nobody else has, and a matter of fact, you think you got a special deal, you and God. He said, that's adding to the what? Confusion. Now, we're not talking about us. We're talking about the Corinthian church to lead up to how we want to be having things in order. Amen? Y'all gonna help me, right? All right. Go to the next verse. Y'all might, if y'all don't help me, don't make a difference. I'm going to go there anyway. So we might as well go together, right? Because this is what God gave me. Amen. Because really, I prepared something different as usual. And, you know, I was like, Lord, I cannot even keep all those scriptures in my mind. But I did. So some of them I left out. But if I go there, I'll go there, all right? So, but if any man be what? Now, he's trying to deal with them in a spiritual level, right? He said, but if any man be ignorant, to be ignorant means to act in a certain way without knowledge. All right? Ignorant means to act out of knowledge. All right? He's trying to get them in the knowledge of God, doing it whose way? But they were determined they had a special word from God that nobody else got. That's when you know you're going the wrong direction, when you got something that nobody else got it. Amen. God speaks to you, and then all of a sudden you're just talking to God and telling God what to do. He said, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak. He's dealing with prophecy, because at this time, when they, like, you know, if you know how we call people to say, oh, we want you to lead brothers, sisters, so-and-so, lead us in prayer, they would get up and just start speaking in tongues. And then Paul says earlier, he said, well, if the ignorant and unlearned come to church, they're going to think you're crazy, because they don't understand what you're doing. So they had all of this confusion going on where? In church. And then, well, we ain't going to go there. We're going to leave y'all alone, because it's more to y'all than us. He said, let all things be done how? Let all things be done decently and in. So Paul tells Titus to set things how? In order. Amen. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start off, I believe, in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4. We're trying to set things in order. Amen. Not doing it our way, but doing it whose way? God's way. When you do it your way, there will be confusion. But when we learn to submit to God, you know, this scripture in James, everybody quotes this scripture, but they always need to begin it off. Say, resist the devil and he'll what? But what does it say before you resist? You got to do what? Submit to God. Then, the problem is we all resisting the devil, but we don't want to submit to God. So because we don't want to submit to God, God does not help us in our situation because we're not obedient. The number one thing, if you want God's help, is you have to submit. You have to throw, like he told them, he said, you don't have a special revelation. And you're doing things all that's only you doing. He talked to the Corinthian church. He said, all these other churches, they're not doing what you're doing. What? How did you get this special revelation from God? That's why he said you got to be doing how? Decently and in order. Actually, go to verse 9. Let's start off with verse 9. Now, Titus' responsibility, the burden that Paul gave to him because he was not there, he said, you got to set it in order. If you don't set the church in order, you're going to have everything going on. And people are going to call it God. And then when all these different things are going on and there's a different mind, that's what Paul said, let us all mind the what? Same thing. Amen. You can't come to church with your mind and it's not the mind of Christ and say, well, let's do it this way. Did you even put some time in prayer about what you're going to do? God give you something special because you were watching TV and saw somebody else do it. Now, a lot of people say, oh, God spoke to me. He didn't speak to you. You just watched somebody else do that. But everything that's meant for them is not meant for you and for him to do, because who knows whether or not that is of God or not. So it's important that if you want to do something, at least spend some time in prayer to make sure that's the mind of God and that God wants you to do that. So if now he that ascended, now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? We know we're talking about who? Jesus. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave, everybody was not an apostle, and some, all were not prophets, and some evangelists, and some. So he had a diversity of people for what? For the perfecting, to help keep things in order. The reason that you have all of these different spiritual classes, they call it the fivefold ministry, is to keep things in order for the perfecting of the saints, for the what? Work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of faith. As long as we're in this body, we need help. We need instruction. We need people to help perfect us so that we can do things decently and in order, and so that we can eliminate confusion. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? A perfect man. This means a spiritually mature man or woman. We're not going to leave y'all out. All right. This perfect means you're spiritually mature. So the teaching, the training, the direction are all intended to help us to go towards spiritual maturity unto a what kind of man? Perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the. All we're trying to do in not teaching and training is get the fullness of Christ. Amen. That's why the scripture says, no flesh shall glory in his presence. Because our lives are supposed to be to the praise of God's glory. Amen. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with everything we hear. Oh, that's God. No, he said, uh-uh. That's not how God works. You can't, everything you hear, everything someone else is teaching is not necessarily of God. Amen. I was listening to some minister and he said, you know, the devil, now this is how the devil is. Let me get down to this part before we get to how the devil is, because this will explain better how the devil is. Amen. He said, they carry about every way of doctrine by the sleight of men. And this was dealing with people that were leading, but the sleight of men means they were dishonest. All right. And really the term that he used way back then was that they were playing with loaded dice. All right, this slate of means, they were playing with loaded dice. Meaning, when somebody's cheating, no matter what you do, you're going to always lose because they are cheating. Amen. So this slate of men means they were dice rollers. You can look it up in your own spare time. And nobody could beat them because they were cheating. Now, we're talking about what? Every wind of what? Doctrine. So every doctrine is not intended to bring you to Christ. But there are some doctrine that men are using for their own advantage. And Peter says they will use the doctrine to make merchandise of the church. So every doctrine you hear is not from God. But there are some doctrines that are the slate of men and the cunning. Now who's crafty? The devil. Right? Devil is crafty. So the cunning craft. So a lot of people will come to you and appear sincere, but there is a deceit or a craft behind what they're doing. That's why you can't believe everything that you hear. And even the Lord said there are many spirits that are going out into the world. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he said, but we ought to do what? Try the spirits to see whether they be of God or because of these cunning, crafty, these slender men. What? They're laying in wait to do what? Deceive you. So the reason that you need the fivefold ministry, the reason that we need training and teaching, because people are trying to deceive you. And what are they using? They're using, as my wife and her little sonny, the devil is using his craft. The craft. You know, and that's why you're kind of amazed this, you're amazed when people talk about the craft and they talk about these Masonic temples and all. Craft? God don't use craft. Who uses craft? The devil. Well, what's the craft to do? To deceive. So it says they're cheating, they're lying, they're deceiving, they're doing all of this because they're trying to deceive you. So the reason you have the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, and the pastors, it's for the perfecting of the saints till we all come together in the unity of the faith. Why? Because the devil has a trap. He's trying to trap barely as one. He's trying to what? Deceive us. Amen? The next verse. But speaking the truth. You know, a lot of people get upset when you tell them the truth. But if it's a truth in love, to help you help yourself, why do you get upset? Paul said, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Tonight we're trying to set our lives in order. And the only one to determine whether our lives are in order or out of order is God and his word. If the word don't back you up, you didn't get no special revelation. Amen. You don't have a special word from God if it ain't in the book. But the devil is setting traps. Amen. To try to trick you up. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up to him in what? You want to grow up in who? Christ in all things. Who is the head, even Christ? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every. If you're in church, guess what you are? You're a joint. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I'm just in church. No, you're not just in church. If God saved you, you are part of the body. So we're supposed to do our part so we all come together in the unity of the faith, in the fullness, and every joint is what? You're supplying, right? If you're in the church, you're a joint. The body is fitly joined together. You're supposed to supply something in church according to the effectual working in the measure of. If you're here, you're doing something, or you should be. Everybody in church should be doing, you should just be here to be here. This is the word of God. We should all want to do what? Something. Make an increase of the body unto thee. Edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify to the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as, don't walk like y'all saved. So God is using all the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. Well, why do we need this perfecting? So that you don't walk like you're not saved. Walk like you're not saved. God does not want us to carry ourselves like the Gentiles. You know, a lot of times, wow, that appeal is not what God wants you to do. He says, why you say, this will come to unity of faith in love. Whose love? God's love, right? This I say, therefore, I testify to the Lord that you walk, that henceforth you walk not as Gentiles in the. You got to have that mind renewed. Because if your mind is not renewed, you're going to always act and talk and walk like the world. So you got to change that mind, amen? Having the understanding, being. When you don't walk according to the standards of God, you will be an alien from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the. We're trying to identify what causes confusion in the church. They do it out of ignorance because of the blindness. You know, you say, well, I know what God says, but you're not supposed to say but. Amen. Whatever God said, we're supposed to submit and we're supposed to surrender. Amen. Keep going. Who being, you know what I said? There are some people you just cannot shame them. They can do anything and think they're right. Their past, you say, whoa, did you see how a sister or brother or such and such act in the other church under here? They act like they didn't do nothing wrong. Their past what? They don't, their God conscience is not impacted by their wrong. Their past feeling had given themselves over to lasciviousness, to worry all our cleanliness and with greediness. But ye have not
learned Christ.
He ain't learned Christ. Now, we're trying to perfect the saint. But to perfect the saint, we need to learn what? So when you start acting out of sorts, and it don't bother. Wait a minute, how do you act ungodly and act like you still all right with God? Your past feeling? Does it bother you that it's not God-like? He said, this is how the who act? The Gentiles. So when you start acting like that, you're not acting like you're saved. Right? Your past feeling. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. I'm going to get down to verse 24. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in who? So if you learn Christ, you act like Christ and the truth is in. But if you learn Christ, you know what Christ asked, and you act complete opposite, he said you're walking in ignorance. Amen? I didn't say this. Isn't it what the, did we read it? Do we need to read it again? Did somebody miss it? I think we read it together, right? That you put off. Now this is the whole challenge now. The reason that we have the teaching and preaching in church. Amen. The Bible said, how can they believe on him who they not heard? How can they believe? How can they hear without any? The reason you come to church to hear is so that you can learn to do it like Christ. It ain't about nothing but Christ. Amen. How can they hear without a preacher, and how can he preach if God didn't send him? So everything you listen to might be God didn't send him. Remember he said, the slate of men and cunning craftiness is doing to what? Trying to do what? Deceive you. So you need to test the spirits. Is that, wait a minute, I had never read that in the Bible. That new revelation? I think I'll stay with the old stuff. Send you away and see it as for the what kind of path? The old path. Don't remove the old landmarks. They've been around for too long for me to do a new thing. But the problem in church now, we're trying to find all this new stuff. That you put off concerning the former conversation, they what? The old man is supposed to be what? Dead. When you went down in the water, that old man should have been. That man was buried, right? The water represents a watery grave, so you went down old, but you came up new. But you came, went down old, and you came up new in the beginning, but all of a sudden, when you look in the mirror, you see the old man. I remember when we was a kid, boy, we went to see Night of the Living Dead. Y'all remember that way back years ago? Night of the Living Dead, all of a sudden all that dead stuff was up walking around. Amen? Well, that ain't church. That was dead. How did that thing come back out the water? Right? You're supposed to pull off the old man, which is what? Corrupt according to the... And you know, it's funny and facetious, but it's true. When I look at myself, God gives me a gut check every day. You know, I was dealing with some situations with me, right? And I was praying, I was like, all right, God, I got this for this. I got this. You ever pray sometimes? I got it. The time I finished, I got it, the phone rang. I said, oh, Lord, do I really have it? And when I hung up the phone, I said, well, thank you, Jesus. I know it's going to come around again. But it can't, that ain't none of y'all, so don't think it's you. Unless it's you, but it ain't y'all. I was praying. I was like, you know what? Because you know what? The Bible says if we judge ourselves, you don't have to be judged, right? But I judge. My wife heard me on the phone with this situation. She know what it is. I was so angry. I said, you know what? I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Click. I said, Lord, I'm wrong. So I got a chance to correct my wrong. When they called back, I was just as nice, but still angry. But I handled it right. I said, okay, Lord, I messed up last time. I couldn't believe the phone rang before I could even finish. They say, did you really get it? Do you really have that advantage? I passed it that time. You know what? God shows us ourselves so we can work on. It's impossible for me to tell you all what to do and then I don't do it, right? Jesus said, the master is above the servant, neither is the servant above the master. Amen. But we have to do. So it was a test, and I knew, I was like, I thought I got over that part of me, right? Because when people try to, you know, I have a problem when people try to insult me, right? When people try to, I had this problem for a while. Matter of fact, I was with a bunch of ministers one time, and this lady insulted me. I was like, what? They were like, oh, that can't be called. I said, uh-uh. I'm not going to let you insult me. I said, ma'am, I know 1 + 1 = 2, and 2 + 2 = 4. Whatever you say is crazy. They were like, please. I said, don't stop me. I said, don't let, but see, I got over that. Right? I passed it for now. Well, you can be guaranteed it'll come up again. But you know, I said, but actually, I'm serious. I'm talking about me. Can I tell you about me? Because it's important that I get it right. And I said, Lord, after I hung up the phone, I've confessed. I said, Lord, I think I said it to my wife too. I said, I messed up that time. But I don't, it's hard for me to deal with people when they try to insult my intelligence, but I guess you gotta let some stuff go. Right? Because then that's the old man that should have been in the water should be what? Buried. Right? How many old men, okay, now I don't want you women to be left out. Old men and old women. Right? They should have been buried. And be renewed, high. So if your mind does not get renewed, it's too much of you that's going to always be there. Right? Because God is trying to help you see yourself. And instead of you saying, Lord, that was wrong. That was not God. You know, I'm going to tell you, when I hung up after this person, I said, now, if that person ever came to church and I talked to them, they're going to say, I can't hear what you said from remembering what you did, right? I said, whoa. This is not the Lord speaking to me, right? I said, wait a minute. If I haven't asked, and they don't know I'm a pastor and all that stuff like that, but I'm just saying, but if we were dealing on my pastor position, I'd be messed up. Because I already lost my testimony, right? So I said, even in business, I cannot lose my testimony, right? Because when somebody come to church, they're going to say, I heard what you said, but oh boy, I remember what you said to me, what you did, right? So I said, you know what, I gotta gut check myself. Because I got to kill that old man. I used to have a bad temper, and boy, it sure likes to resurrect itself. You know, and God gives us just an indicator. He gives us a test every once in a while to see where we are. It's important that we pass the test, right? So you're gonna be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And this is what the whole ultimate purpose of everything for salvation is all about. And that you put on, don't y'all wanna be new? You know what, if you've been saved for any period of time, you should see you, right, in anything. Because if you see you, you have not learned Christ. Didn't we just read that? And then when you see the old man, it can't be the new man, because the old and the new just don't work together. So, you know, I got a clue. No, I mean, but we gotta really change. You can't, well, that's just the way I am. That's just where you should have been, right? That ain't the way you ought to be now, because you're supposed to be renewed in the spirit. And the old man and woman should have been dead. But all of a sudden, the you before you got saved, sometimes you'll walk around and say, whoa, who's that stranger in the house? Right? Yeah. Is that a stranger? And he said, no, that's me. Right? Because you're acting so ungodly in all the character. That ain't God. So they only amaze you that you see you walking around. Right? So when you see that, you should say, whoa. You know what it's time for me to do? Pray. It's time for me to go on a consecration. It's time for me to go on a fast. It's time for God to change me. Amen? That you put on a new man, which after God is created in, and what? True. What kind of holiness? He says a true holiness, that's other people that starts going through the motions of holiness. Because when you're new, there's a change. God puts us in situations to see how we're going to react, to see which one of us is going to show up. Is it the new you or is it the old you, right? I stopped going to basketball games for a long time because I had an old man that always met me at the door. I said, what are you doing here? You ever talk to yourself like this? Wait a minute, what you doing here? You ever see those commercials on TV and say, hey, weren't you supposed to be somewhere? But the old you keeps showing up. But if you don't keep under your body, that old you is gonna keep manifesting itself. So we're supposed to be created in what? True holiness. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about setting things in order. We're talking about doing it whose way? God's way. To do it God's way, that means that you have to put yourself on check. Amen. You gotta do some things for yourself. The old man is dead. How does time always sneak up on me? That old man ain't, I'll tell you something about time ain't old. Time just keep right on tracking. All right? Now we talk about the old man, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. We part of being saved and being right before God is disciplining ourselves. Amen. It's so important that we're disciplined. And to be disciplined means we have to do things God's way. Actually, before we go here, we're going to come back to this. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. I think Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 first. Let's go there first. Proverbs 29, 15. And let me just read you something that Solomon says. Because part of being saved and being a new man is having some discipline, right? You cannot be saved and be a new man and be undisciplined, all right? So I'm gonna read two verses. I'm gonna read the New Living Testament translation, and then we're gonna read King James. Let me read King James first. It says, The rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I know. Y'all read this 31 times. Oh, what month is this? 12 times. December. 12 times. Praise the Lord. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And the New Living Translation said, to discipline a child produces wisdom, but the mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. So discipline is a necessity. Amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Somebody said, Pastor, you're all over the place. I am. But I'm going to try to get to where we need to be. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm not going to read everything, but let's go to verse 5. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Discipline. Now, a child that's undisciplined disgraces his mother. All right, the reason they used mother back in those days is because the fathers always worked and the mothers were always home. So the mother's job was to train and teach till the father got there. All right? Today, things are different. Everybody works. He said, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto what? Unto children. He says, my son, despise not thou the. That means God is disciplining you. All right, when we're not in order, when we're out of order, when we don't do things God's way, he disciplines us. So I say that when God is correcting you to give you some wisdom to do things properly, he said, don't you despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art. I say, God, I don't know why you do. That faint means you just quit, give up. Because God is trying to correct you and trying to help you. Why are you going to quit on God when he's trying to help you get your life in order so that you're in harmony with him, so you do well, have righteousness and what kind of holiness? True holiness. Amen. For whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines. God corrects. You know what? He doesn't correct you because he doesn't love you. He corrects you to try and get you right. God says, I see too much of the old man. I know when I was growing up, we used to get the switch. I ain't never get the belt too much. He said, you know what? That switch is going to drive you out. Well, my dad didn't whip me too much. My mom did all the whipping. Until I got to be about 12, she said, he hurts me more to whip you than it would whip me. She says, I'm going to just leave you alone. But those early whippings taught me enough, right? The reason she whipped me was so that I didn't repeat the same mistakes. And then God's my witness, almost every friend I grew up with wound up in jail, stabbed in the hospital. But they're disciplined. I used to say, Mom, why can't I do what everybody else do? She said, because I ain't everybody else's mother. So I tested her a couple of times, but that switch drove me real fast. Don't test that. Yeah, we just had to get the switches. We didn't get those, like, all these little things here. We had to go get the switches, had all of them different arms on it so they could braid them together. And they better not break, right? That's what we used to get. So when you got two or three of those in a year, you didn't repeat that too much. Because that was, you know, today they call it child abuse. Thank God for child abuse. I ain't never been to jail. I ain't never had none of those problems. My father said, boy, you would never shame my name. And he said, matter of fact, he said, if y'all ever get too big for you to do what I tell you to do, I'm going to shoot you. And I didn't know if he would shoot me or not, so I didn't take the chance. But what I'm saying is, discipline is good. It teaches, it trains you to do things right. So God sees that we're going in the wrong direction, and he disciplines us. Then we get mad at God, and then we faint in our mind. That means we quit on God because we don't want the correction. Amen? He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealing with you as with, go through the discipline. Accept it. Don't keep fighting God. He said that when you just accept that discipline. Now, all y'all got children, right?
All right, especially all you parents that like to beat up on these little babies.
I ain't saying, I just playing around. Y'all want to beat up on babies. You know what I'm saying? Nobody will beat up a baby because I'm the baby empress. No. But everybody, when you have a little child, you tap them lightly to get them going in the right direction because you don't want them to mess up, right? If your baby's walking by a boiling hot pot on the stove, you're going to just sit there and watch them, right? You're going to do what? You're going to stop them. You're going to do what? Correct them so that they don't hurt themselves. Well, what God does for us, he sees that we're heading for danger, so he sends a word of correction. Now, the Bible says a fool passes on and the lion is in the street and he gets destroyed. Y'all read that in Proverbs, so we ain't going to go there. But how does God warn us and we continue to go in the wrong direction? We despise the chastening of the Lord because we want to do it our way, and our way adds to confusion. God delivered you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof ye are partakers, then are ye illegitimate. This means your illegitimate children, or you born out of wedlock, is what it really means. And when you're born out of wedlock, this is what the Bible says. This ain't what I'm saying. But when you're born out of wedlock, illegitimate, then we're dealing with a spiritual parent. All right, so don't go on a wild tangent in your mind. Stay with this. Look at somebody and say, stay spiritual. Don't go carnal. Stay spiritual. He said, if you be without chastisement, then are ye bastards, which means you're illegitimate children, and you're not, we're dealing with discipline. Amen. We're dealing with doing it whose way? God's way. Because the purpose is, we won't finish this, Lord willing, to next week. But can you go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. I only got a couple more verses I go over because somebody stole my time. I think praise singing, y'all was singing like an hour or something, right? Oh. Well, we're dealing with really being saved. Doing things God's way, accepting correction. Right? Accepting reproof. Accepting instruction. Because it's intended to lead us God's way. And the part of accepting instruction and direction is having discipline. Amen. Discipline means that I'm learning from my mistakes. And you know the biggest problem about making a mistake is not making a mistake, it's what? Repeating it. Right. Make the mistake, but now learn from it. Say, I learned. I will not repeat this. Hey, I should just make everybody quote Proverbs 25, 28, because they read it 12 times. Right? Who knows that? No, I ain't gonna mess with y'all. I'm gonna let y'all stay with me. He that has no rule over his. If you don't have rule over those things, you're like a what? Broken down and without. This means you cannot control your spirit. You have no discipline. Now, Solomon is writing this about walls and cities because Jerusalem was a walled city, right? And as the reason that Jerusalem had the high walled city, it was Zion before David went in and took Zion and then made it Jerusalem, is because the protection from keeping all the enemy out of the city was the what? The walls. Well, what Solomon said, he said that if you don't have no rule over your own spirit, because we are continuously beset or attacked by the devil, when you get out of control, you're like a city without walls that's broken down. That means you just open up and let anything come in. Because you don't have any self-control. Right? You're not controlled. You're out of control. So when you get out of control, everything just shh. Because you're a city without What with our wall? Remember the Bible talks about when everybody went by and looked at Jerusalem after it was burned and they were taken to Babylon, they didn't just wag their heads. They couldn't believe the mighty city was fallen. The walls were broken down. Well, when we don't have any discipline, when we don't have control of our own spirits, then you are like a city without walls. Your spirit is wrong. When the spirit is wrong, you can't control. Somebody said, how do you act like that? Because that's just like me. That is not God. That's the wrong spirit. So when you can't rule over your own spirit, then we read earlier, I believe, then we read this, the spirit of the prophet is what? Subject to the prophet. In church, you have to have some control. You can't just be running rampant and sin and doing anything you want. Every time somebody acts wild, I say, man, we can do this. Nobody should get offended by this. But somebody act crazy, say, man, your walls are broken down. Right? Right? Your walls broken down when you act like that. Can we just say walls? Right? Be careful, because some of the people you say wall, when their walls are broken down, they're really broken down. But what we're trying to do tonight, and we'll finish this up, because I got way too many more scriptures to go through tonight. But let's go back to, let me finish up with 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. In other words, anything can come in. You can't keep it up because your wall of protection is gone. Because you have no rule. You cannot say everything that comes to your mind. That is not discipline. That is not the right. Yes, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. I cannot use my liberties in the Christ for an occasion to my flesh. Just because you're saved, you don't have the freedom to fly off the handle and say everything that comes out of your mouth. Because did not Jesus say you must give account for every idle word and thought? So you said you got to give an account for it. So some things we need to hold in. Right? We need to suppress some stuff. And every time you don't do it, just say, your walls have fallen down. Humpty Dumpty, sit on the wall. Okay. Walls can't tumble down, right? I don't know, he can get everybody. Number 924. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but what? One receiveth the prize, so run. The reason that you're running this life race of salvation is because you're trying to obtain the prize. Amen. And every man that striveth for the mastery is self-control. You're trying to get the best you can. So you're going to have some what? Self-control. And what? Somebody said, well, you can't expect me to be perfect. Didn't I say be tempered in what things? Now they do it to obtain a, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as. I know a person years ago, they just used to just get out of the car because they didn't like going over the bridge. They just start running. It's like, where you going? They just be running. You know, some of y'all know who they don't know what it is. Some of y'all know what it is. I ain't gonna tell you if you don't know. But you can't just be running like you don't know where you're going or what you're doing. Just start running. Why? Uncertainty. At least if you're gonna run, know where you're going. Paul said, when I run, I don't run with uncertainty. So fight I. You know, you're supposed to be fighting an opponent and all you're doing is beating the air. You look good, but you ain't doing nothing. Have some purpose, some definition in what you're doing. Amen? Go to the next one. He said, but I keep and bring it in. You know what Paul said? He said, my soul is so important. I don't let my body rule my soul, but I let my soul rule my body. I won't let my body be the master of my soul, but I let my soul be the master of my body. He said, so I keep under Why do you want to keep on in your body, Paul? Lest by it means when I have. I'm telling everybody else what to do in closing. And I myself, I'm unprofitable. I'm not useful in the kingdom because I don't have any self-control or discipline. It's important tonight, church, if we don't develop some discipline and self-control, we will always have confusion. And the Bible says in every evil work. So in order to eliminate confusion, let's get on God's plan. Let's start doing it God's way, and let's die out to ourselves. No one of John the Baptist said, I die daily. He said, Paul said, I die daily. But John said, I must. Anybody ever think about decreasing? Well, why do you want to decrease? So that Christ, as we all stand, can increase. Self-control and discipline is so important. Controlling what we say is so important. He that had no rule over his own, not somebody else's spirit, just rule your spirit. If you don't have no rule over your own spirit, you're like a city without walls, and the walls have been broken down. And what that meant is anything. You're liable, you're susceptible to anything coming in because you don't have a wall of defense. Tonight, I don't know about you, but Lord, I just want to be saved. You said righteousness, and what kind of holiness? True holiness. True holiness means we want to be like God. Lord, whatever you say, just help me to do it. You know, when I look in the mirror, this is what James said as the elders and the ministers come forward. James said, if we just hear a word and not a doer, we're like a man, we behold our natural face in the glass. In the mirror, we look at ourselves. But because we did not give heed to the word, we did not allow the word to shape us, we immediately go our way and forget what manner a man we were. Why? Because you just hear the word, but you won't do it. It's so important for the church. In order for us not to have confusion, and in order for the church to have order, we must be a doer word and not a hearer only. Amen. For if we hear the word and continue in the perfect law of liberty, the Bible says this man shall be blessed. Anyone want to be blessed? Then let's not just keep hearing the word. Let's put the word to work. Amen.
Gates of heaven.